Welcome to a very unique episode of the Hunt Backcountry podcast. Steve and I talk about one thing tonight, and that's headlamps. We take a deep dive into reviewing, comparing, and contrasting five different headlamps for the specific purposes of backcountry hunting. We didn't just get these headlamps, get them out of the package, play with them for a few minutes, and then record this show. We've had these headlamps since past spring. We've taken them on hunts. We've taken them on many hikes. We've put them in the field and put them through some tests, and now we have a lot to say about them. There's pros and cons to each one, but clearly a couple did rise to the top, while others didn't meet the standards or the requirements that Steve and I had for our needs. So if you're in the market for a headlamp, this is going to be a great discussion. If you just want to learn more about headlamps and maybe some things that you haven't considered, hopefully you'll enjoy it as well. Obviously, this show is not for everybody, so stay tuned because we have some awesome things coming. And let me tell you what's coming up. So after this headlamp show, we take another deep dive into looking at stove systems for backcountry hunting. So that'll be the next episode. From there, we dive in three episodes straight, just in time to kick your elk season off with three different elk experts. We take three different guys with three different philosophies, three different approaches, and provide that information for you. It's nice to see different opinions, different styles, and how it all comes together. So hopefully those three episodes after these gear reviews will help you kick off your season and punch your tag. Okay, that's where we're headed. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. As always, visit exomountaingear.com/podcast to learn more, including a video that we reference in this show. And you can also subscribe to receive future episodes right from there. You can contact us as well to podcast@exomountaingear.com. On to this discussion on headlamps. Well, Steve, let's come up with a horrible pun and shine the light on some headlamps here.
That's a terrible pun.
I know, right? I'm good for something. So it's been kind of fun over the last, almost couple months, really, that we've had a handful of headlamps and played with them. That we took some on the death hike. I've taken them on a bunch of training hikes. I know that you've gotten out with them quite a bit. So I think just in general, the goal, was not only to, I think, get into specs and look at that, but really, I mean, that stuff's easy to find online. I mean, all of you guys can go and look at particular specs on something. So we wanted to cover that a bit, but I think even more, we wanted to spend some time with the products and kind of get some opinions. In the end, if there is going to be opinion, there's going to be personal experience here, and really talk about some of the stuff that I think matters, but you don't get just by looking at the website or looking at specs. So, just diving into anything, I'm curious. One of the things you just completed was kind of a time lapse. And I haven't even talked to you since you did that.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to hear. I'd love to hear about that. You know, all these different headlamps have different power ranges, different max lumens, different settings kind of in between. But I know you kind of tried to even that out, kind of tried to make a level playing field and kind of look at battery life on this time lapse. So talk a bit about that because I want to hear it.
I thought I had a cool idea just to, at nighttime, I lined all the headlamps up across just the fence in my backyard, put them 10 feet from the fence, enough that the beam just it was like a good 4 foot wide beam on the fence, and then just set up my DSLR camera on time lapse mode. So I just took a picture every 30 seconds. And I started it at 10 o'clock at night last night, and then it stopped. I had to go out at midnight, 2 a.m. and 4 a.m. So it ran from basically from 10 o'clock at night until 7:30 in the morning. The camera batteries died at 5 a.m. So I got a 7 hour time lapse. But I had them basically some of them were on the highest setting, but other ones like the coast has 300 lumens. So I backed that down to be comparable brightness to the other ones. And so we were kind of trying, I guess none of them were on the complete max, the Petzl, and the Black Diamond both had a max brightness, and I backed those down. The Princeton Tech was at max, and I think that's it. But the Princeton Tech to hang with the other ones, light wise, I was just trying to be practical. Like, if I'm hiking in the dark, and you know, when you're on a trail, that's one thing, but when you're maybe kind of not exactly sure where you are, it's nice to have that beam be nice and bright. And you know, in my experience, you know, I've always had I've had a Princeton Tech and Black Diamond headlamps in the past, and I was always just I hated the burn time on them. You know, the runtime on high settings, it seemed like you'd get like half an hour tops of like good bright stuff with the fresh batteries, and then the image or the other image, the brightness would go way, way down. And so I was really curious to do this test and actually compare real life specs to what the spec says on the paper. And there was some stuff that was just straight, like, you know, Coast, which this will probably shock you, had hands down the best battery life.
Really?
Hands down.
So on paper, like, they're one of the ones worst. That I was concerned with.
Yeah, and that you'd think so. Like, wow. So you got the time lapse video done. We'll get it published. You can watch it over 7 hours. It is like hands down the brightest. Or stays the most consistent.
Because that's a freaking. I mean, we didn't get in. We're going to talk about all these specifically and kind of go down the line. But the Coast is a powerhouse of a headlamp. I know you said you backed it down, but like, it packs some serious punch. And because of that, like on the max end, it has a shorter. A shorter runtime, but even what they publish for the runtime at the lower end wasn't super impressive to me.
No, so it's not. So, I'm sure there's no, you know, I just had this conversation last week with a guy from, I'm kicking myself now. One of the mattress companies down at the outdoor retailer show, and we were talking about R ratings, you know, and there is no industry standard R value rating for sleeping pads, and it's a really frustrating thing that I'm personally going through, because I'm trying to find a new pad that's a little bit more comfortable. And you know, I grab one pad that's a 3.2 and I sleep great, and then I grab another pad, sleep great from a warmth perspective, and I grab another pad that's like a 4.5 and I freeze my butt off. And so obviously either one company's overrating it or the other company's underrating it. So same with headlamps. I'm guessing, like, at what point do they establish is the runtime, the effective runtime of something, you know, is it until it's completely black, or is it just the, you know, it's changed 10%. I have no idea what their standard is, but Coast is obviously highly, highly underrating theirs, because it just smoked everything. Like, so I took it, took the headlamps into the office this morning, and basically all of them were dead. You know, I mean, like, just barely anything left. But the Coast, I turned it on, and like, you would have thought I put brand new batteries in it. It was absolutely crazy. Yeah. So I did run it. The Coast, you know, I ran it, I think, one click down from the highest brightness setting. So I'm not exactly sure what lumens that was, but it compared pretty neck and neck with the Black Diamond Revolt. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm here clicking it literally, and still, like, it kind of has just kind of a high, medium, low. And when you step down from the max, it's still good light.
It's bright. Yeah.
It's very bright. Still good light. It's
a impressive headlamp. So, the Black Diamond Revolt stayed, so everyone will be able to watch the video. We'll put it on the notes page. But it stayed, you could tell it has a really good, you know, hardware inside of it, because it maintained a very high level of brightness all the way up until 6.5 hours. And then all of a sudden it went from bright to nothing. Mm-hmm. Like, it literally just, I think in the span of 15 minutes, it went down to like barely any light coming out at all. So they definitely have some kind of impressive hardware inside there to regulate how the battery's getting, you know, decharged. The one thing I did is, because we had a couple headlamps in this that just took standard AAAs and a couple headlamps that were rechargeable, I did just put all Duracell AAAs in it. All of them use 3 AAA batteries, and that way we're on an even playing field. Because I know the rechargeable batteries, from my understanding, don't hold a charge near as long as, you know, your standard alkaline battery. So I wanted to make sure they're all level there. So that's the one kind of caveat to this, is I took the Princeton Tech, or not the Recharge, the Petzl, and the Coast. I took those batteries out and just put in standard batteries. So,
okay. Yeah, good to know.
Yeah, so Coast was just hands down best brightness. Like, if I was going to go into the backcountry with one set of batteries, that thing is freaking amazing. Black Diamond is very impressive. And then on the other end of the spectrum, the Petzl, an hour and a half went completely dark.
Really?
Yeah. And it wasn't, you know, like I said, I had it on the high setting for the high beam, and you can click in the floodlight to get more light. But I had that turned off, and yeah, it was, it went, I guess, an hour and a half, hour and 45 minutes, something like that. By the time you watch the time lapse and hit 2 hours, it's basically like putting out very, very little light.
Yeah. So they rate the max on that one at 2 hours.
At 2 hours. Okay. Yeah. So that's 2 hours, and then they're rating that as it's basically no light coming out.
Yeah. So, and it's, yeah. So a couple things on that. One is, if that petzl is on high, they do rate it 2 hours, and that petzl on high is 350 lumens, which is higher than a lot of the others. So that's, you know, it's.
Yeah, that, see that, and that's one thing that, that I know, they say 350 lumens. I don't,
it didn't
see
seem
that
much brighter.
And yeah, it's not even, the Coast and Black Diamond, in my opinion, are twice as bright.
Really?
Like hands down brighter. Yeah.
Yeah. And then Petzl also has, and this probably is what you saw. So they kind of have a safety, quote unquote, safety feature, if you will, where if it's getting low on power, it puts it into, I think they call it like a smart reserve mode. And so instead of like running it high, running it medium till it's truly dead and you're out of light, mm-hmm. what they do is, when they sense the battery is so low, they essentially lock you into a really low lumen. I think it's like 10 lumens, but at least it gives you some light. And they say that at that point, it still has, I think, a couple hours or something left, but it is dim for sure.
Yeah.
But they sort of do that as a safety versus it being, you know, going to dark. And I actually ran into that on one of my test hikes. I think it was, you know, when I got all these, I charged them, I put fresh batteries in them and just used them and didn't really monitor battery life because I knew that we were doing this time lapse and things. And I was actually out on a hike and all of a sudden the thing went dim. And at first I thought I was going crazy or something hit the button or what have you. And I could not get it to do anything but be dim. And it wasn't until after that that I kind of looked up and they have that smart reserve mode. So that's what happened to me is, you know, the battery gets into, I'll make a number up, 5% or whatever. And so just going black and burning through that, they put you in the smart reserve mode, which, you know, has some benefit.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So
interesting.
That is interesting. So from that perspective, Coast was kind of the big surprise, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. So shocked the crap out of me because I looked at the specs, you know, and what's the burn time? Hour and a half, you said?
Yeah, like it's right around 2 hours too as well. Yeah.
Yeah. And you just look at that and go, yeah, that's not even practical for hunting. You know, that's not long enough, but it said it was hands down the best performer in the battery life test. So
yeah, they say 2 hours at high, and then I think they publish around 11 hours at low, but you were on that medium setting.
Yep.
And you still got, great life. So interesting.
Yeah. So it was cool.
Any other takeaways from that, or do you just kind of want to at this point dive into each one and talk about our experiences with them?
I think we could dive into each one from there. I said it's we'll have this video up so everyone can watch it. It's kind of, you know, just from everyone likes to geek out every once in a while on you know, the stuff that's in their hunting pack. And for me, I've always been, I don't know how many freaking headlamps I've owned over the years, you know, so it was really fun to do this one test and just kind of get real world facts on it.
Yeah, absolutely. So to show no partiality or control the conversation here, let's just go alphabetic order and start with the Black Diamond. So we had the Black Diamond Revolt. I think it is a new model for 2017. It's a bit different than the Revolts in the past, one of which I've owned. I've owned Revolts and Spots in the past. Have two of them sitting right here in addition to the new 2017 Revolt that we got for testing. Yeah, I'll just kind of give a rundown on my impressions and jump in or jump in at the end. But the Revolt, as you mentioned, Revolt is rechargeable. So it can take standard AAAs, or it comes with three Black Diamond rechargeable AAAs. So I like the recharging option for sure. I think more and more guys are carrying a power bank or something. But I definitely want to have the option to throw in spare batteries if needed. The one thing that kind of gets me on, you know, the Revolt is if you're using those rechargeables, and they go low, the only way to recharge them is to plug the headlamp itself in. So if you exhaust the rechargeables, yes, you can throw in your standard AAA cells, no problem, but you can't really recharge the cells that are rechargeable because they need to be in the headlamp to do it, which is different than some of the others, which we'll talk about. So that's kind of one negative. But overall, man, the Black Diamond, I think it's a max of 300 lumens. It's nice. It has a like an indicator light on there for kind of like a power meter. So you're kind of green and then it'll fade to orange and then I think blink at red as it's getting low. So it's not going to be perfect on showing you battery indication, but you can, you know, every time you power it on, that light's going to come on. And I've noticed before, oh, it's orange. It needs to be charged a bit. Mm-hmm. So that is kind of nice. It has a light lock, so that's incredibly nice. You can completely lock it out. You hold the button down for, I think, 6 seconds. And then to turn the light on, you have to hold that button down for another 6 seconds. It's at least 6 seconds. So, you know, throwing it in your pack, worrying about it coming on accidentally because it got bumped, because it got squeezed, and then you're draining your batteries. Not a big concern with a Black Diamond there. It's got good modes. You know, it's got like a spotlight. It's got a wider, more type floodlight that are separate bulbs. It has the red light. Each of the light modes, whether it's the spot or the flood or the red, you can really fine tune the output. You can hold the button down and gradually raise or lower the output, which is nice. It's waterproof. It's a IPX8 waterproof rating, which is higher than I think any of the other ones that we've tested. Yeah, I mean, it's a good all-around headlamp. It weighs in a little over 3 ounces, which really all of these headlamps are between 3 and 3.4 ounces. There's not huge weight discrepancies.
I put all of them on the scale today in the office just to confirm the listed weight. And yeah, it was like 3.2 to 3.6 or something like that. So I was kind of, at that point, I think weight's just not even.
Yeah, you know, it's not even worth not considering a decision. To me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Another thing I like, the if you have it in a certain mode, so say you have it, you know, on the spot and at a certain lumen setting, when you turn it off and then turn it back on, it kind of remembers where you left off, which is nice because you're not shocking yourself with a super bright light or something if that's not what you had last. The one thing I don't like about this, and this is, well, the one thing I've mentioned already is the batteries. Here's the second thing I don't like about this. It can do a lot. Like we just talked about that. It has three lights. It has the spot and the flood and the red. Each of those lights you can raise and lower. A couple of those light modes you can put into strobe mode. Like it does a ton of stuff. At the same time, there's one button on this thing. So you can just imagine like switching between modes, going to red, raising and lowering, going to strobe. There's so much stuff going on in this headlamp, but there's one button, which is like awesome and horrible at the same time.
Yeah.
So there's a huge like learning curve / growing through some frustration to make it do what you want it to do.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny because my current headlamp I've been using the last 2 or 3 years is the spot. And it's the exact same headlamp as far as that one button function and everything. And I hadn't used it. You know, I took this headlamp, the Revolt on the bear hunt in April. And I don't think I'd used the other headlamp since, you know, October, November. And I'd like completely forgotten how to do all the controls. And I remember just being pissed off because I couldn't figure out how to switch between modes. And it's definitely a learning curve. Once you get the hang of it, you know, whether to double tap or hold or whatever, But it's definitely very complicated, and there's a lot to be said for simplicity, especially, you know, a lot of us don't want to have to, like, you know, learn how to run a headlamp, right? You should just be able to grab it, throw it on your head, and turn the on button on. So if you're a guy who doesn't appreciate having all those features, you know, I don't know if that is necessarily the headlamp for you.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm just like you. I think I've been using spots or Revolt is my primary headlamps for the last 3 years. And so I have experience with this. I can only imagine if I would have got this for the testing, not had experience with it, I would have wanted to throw the thing out the window.
Yeah.
That said, once you learn it, there's a ton of freaking advantages to this headlamp. Like it's definitely one of the top contenders for me overall. I would have hardly any sour feelings if you told me that this is the headlamp I had to use exclusively for the next however long. Like, it's a great headlamp. It's just kind of that recharging feature. Some of the other ones do nice, which we'll talk about. And then kind of the learning curve on it is definitely a bit brutal. I will say, though, that button is, it's pretty big. It's nice and large. So if you're one of the guys who's, you know, hunting in cooler climates a lot, wears gloves a lot, it's going to be, you know, besides changing modes, it's going to be one of the easiest to, like, actually just get on and off and have some dexterity with gloves and that type of thing.
Yeah, for sure. One other thing, features that I do really like. One is just the overall build quality. I'd say hands down, it's the best out of the group that we tested.
Yeah, that feels solid.
It's got a nice rubbery feel. It, like, looks waterproof. Some of the other ones claim waterproof ratings, and I'm sure that's all verified because there are standards set for that. But they're just kind of plastic clips and stuff that I just look at. Like, if you drop that in a creek, water is definitely going to get into the battery housing or whatever. Yeah. And then the other feature I really like is that power tap. So if you tap kind of the right side of it, you go from whatever mode you're in to, like, the brightest setting. And I remember specifically just on my bear hunt, just kind of was pitch black, and I'd kind of gone off chasing that bear. I remember telling the story about not being able to get shot off on. And I'm trying to find my way back to the trail in the dark, and just every once in a while to be able to power tap that, like, get this crazy bright, you know, it's like turning on the lights, kind of find yourself or find, like, the next point you want to go to, and then you dim it back down so you just kind of make sure you're not tripping over stuff as you're hiking. It's a pretty cool little feature, so you don't have to go into the main, you know, menu and button and scroll through everything to get back to that light setting.
Yeah.
So definitely a nice feature there.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned it. Yeah, it's cool. It's not even a button. You literally just hit the side of the headlamp housing. And it bumps you right up to that 300 max lumens, and then you can just tap it again, and you're right back down to whatever mode you're in. It's pretty slick, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, glad to mention that. Anything else on the Black Diamond?
No, yeah, I'll hold off on my, I guess my...
The great reveal.
The great reveal for me, but yeah, no, I mean, it's just a solid performer. Don't buy it if you want to throw it in your pack and show up in the field and start hunting.
Yeah.
Definitely read the instructions and play with it and get to use it before you do that. So if you're one of those guys like Lenny, like, he wouldn't test this, you know, he would just throw in his pack and say, screw it, I'll figure it out when I get out there. Yeah. That's, you know, maybe not the headlamp you should choose.
Yeah. If you're the guy who doesn't want, like, super technical features and just wants simplicity, not for you. If you're the guy who wants to geek out and have everything, it's a great choice for sure.
Yeah,
for sure. Cool. So next up, Black Diamond. Now we're hitting the coast. So we have the Coast FL75R, which is the rechargeable version. They also have just an FL75 that's not rechargeable. I knew absolutely zero about Coast before we did this. Mm-hmm. Literally had never heard of them. Didn't know anything until I just started looking at different headlamps and brands and all that. So we got these units from Coast. You know, we picked the specific model, but I knew nothing. Like, I had no idea what to expect. It was kind of funny. I think we both mentioned this to each other at different points, but I was just kind of shocked when I opened up the package, because the packaging of the headlamp itself was, like, impressive. I was like, I felt like I was opening an iPhone or something.
Seriously, like, it's iPhone quality, like, packaging. It was really, really impressive. Yeah.
Yeah. To be honest with you, I think I mentioned this to you. I was like, man, they put so much in this packaging. It's like, are they trying to polish a turd or something? Like, I was kind of worried about how good the product was going to be. It's like, man, they might have spent as much on the packaging as they did the product. But
yeah,
that was literally with no impression of the thing. So
yeah.
The Coast, I guess just to kind of give a general rundown, it has pretty simple features. So two buttons. One is going to activate your white light. One is going to activate your red light. It has a large center housing for the white light, and then two little side LEDs for the red light. The large center housing for your main beam has a quick adjust dial on it. So you grab it, turn it, twist it, and that's what changes you from being, like, up close and personal, flood wide work light to going out to a far reaching beam. So the white light has three modes, that high, medium, low. You just click through them with the button. But on any of those modes, you can change it from a super wide beam, or you can change it to the spotlight to, you know, to concentrate and to reach out a distance. I mentioned before, we have the rechargeable model. So it has the ability to take standard AAAs, as they all do, takes three AAAs. But the rechargeable model comes with a battery pack. So unlike the Black Diamond, which basically has rechargeable AAAs in it, the Coast has a little single unit, single cell battery pack that fits in the same tray where your AAAs would go. Coast freaking nailed it on that, because you can charge the battery pack by plugging the headlamp in. So there's a port, protected, kind of little dust cover, rubber cover. You can plug the whole headlamp in, micro USB, which charges the pack inside of it. Or you can open up the guy, take the battery pack out, and then there's another micro USB port on the battery pack itself. So you could pull the battery pack out, be charging that while you throw some standard AAAs in, and be using your headlamp. Which is what I was getting to with the Black Diamond, that you cannot do. You can't charge the rechargeables and run the headlamp at the same time. This, you can truly swap and charge while you're using the headlamp. I freaking nailed it. It's nice to have both options for sure.
Yeah, it's funny is I never even, you're catching that you can't recharge it. That was never something that was that crossed my mind. But yeah, if you got a battery pack or a solar panel and you're out there in the field, you could plug it in, hunt all day, and come back and have a charged up battery. Yeah. So one thing that drove me nuts, to jump ahead just for a sec to the Petzl, is you can't charge it. I thought it was crazy that you had to pull the battery out to charge it, or at least open up the casing. Yeah. So Coast definitely nailed it there, where you could do both, plug it in through the headlamp. So when you're driving up, you know, you got a 3-hour drive, you just plug it in your center console, your truck. And then, yeah, while you're out there in the field, you can pull it out and charge just the battery pack.
Yep. Yeah. So, yeah, burn time, which we talked a bit about. We can talk a bit more about. Apparently, we had better success than the ratings even, which is cool to hear. You know, that on high mode, and especially throwing that thing on the spotlight, you know, they claim like 150 meters or something effective range on this thing, and it doesn't really shock me. Like, if you put this thing in high and throw it in that concentrated spot mode, this thing throws some serious light. Yeah. Serious light.
Yep.
It does have the red light. We mentioned that. They do a lifetime warranty on their stuff on their site. You know, we've never tested their customer service or anything like that. But backing up, I don't think we mentioned Black Diamond offers like a 3-year warranty. Coast is offering a lifetime warranty. I've seen, you know, like the Black Diamond's rated that IPX8, which is higher than any of the others I mentioned. I didn't really see where Coast mentioned much about waterproofing or water resistance. I did see some like water resistant claims, you know, just in marketing speak. I didn't see a rating on that. Mm. Maybe I just wasn't looking in the right places.
What's interesting is from the build quality, it's kind of all rubber, and the buttons are covered in rubber and kind of like sealed with the housing. It gives the appearance of being, you know, very water resistant.
Yeah, I just didn't see the rating. I think it would stand up pretty well, better than some of the others that even have a rating, to be honest with you, just by looking at it. Little things, I noticed that the headband's really comfortable, and it has kind of, without being like super gaudy or out there, it has little specks in it that are reflective, which is nice. You know, if you had like a secondary light, or your buddy has a light, you drop yours or whatever, at least I like having a little bit of reflectivity and things like that, which is nice. The simplicity, like click it on, click it off, click through high, medium, low. The fact that you can change from this, you know, flood beam to the spot beam, not by holding down buttons, but just by turning the dial. You could easily do it with gloves, even with larger gloves. It's just super, super simple to operate. There's absolutely nothing confused about it. Nothing you have to learn. You could do it all with gloves. I think one of the downsides for me, you know, it just feels a little bit bulkier. Like it has a little bit bigger of a profile. Part of that goes back to the fact that it has this dial on it, right? Like you can't have a dial and not have some physical attributes there to grab onto. It doesn't really feel, you know, enormous when you put it on or anything. And really, I think it almost looks bigger than it is if you actually hold it up against the others. But, yeah, it's a little bit bulky for sure. It doesn't have a lockout feature that I saw mentioned or could figure out. So, like the Black Diamond, I hold the button down 6 seconds. It doesn't have that. The buttons are pretty small, though, you know. So, what are some of your thoughts, Steve?
I almost, you know, right in line with you. It's funny, I have, I actually, of all places, I was at my mom's house like last Christmas, and I think I'd heard Coast mentioned here and there, you know, pretty casually, and definitely like had the perception that you would buy Coast at Walmart and be this cheap product. I don't know why I had that perception. It's just what I did. But randomly, my mom had this headlamp, and she's like, "Oh yeah, I just got this from Walmart," and you know, she needed it for doing something, going for walks at night or something. And I like looked at it, like, "Oh, that thing's looking like a cheap piece of crap," you know, just kind of. And then actually started playing with it, and I turned it on, and I'm like, "Holy crap, this thing's impressive!" Yeah. You know, just knew like that the brightness and then the focusing beam, and so I was definitely excited when we got these to test it and kind of put it more through the ringer. And it's, you know, I said right out of the gate, the packaging, how it comes, you know, it's very like high quality. You know, they're going after that for sure. I think the headlamp aesthetically doesn't look as cool, you know, quote unquote, as the, right. some of the other ones. But when you just get down to the nuts and bolts of it, the thing just flat out performs.
Exactly. Yeah.
And I just like, I loved everything about it. And then after doing the test last night with the longevity of the battery and the brightness, I mean, I was just blown away. Just super impressed. The like I said, it is it's probably 3.6 ounces, so it's one of the heavier ones. And it is just has that. It's exactly how you said, as it appears bulky. It's not that much worse than the other ones, but it is bigger. But you know, the simplicity, the focusing beam, it's really just an impressive headlamp. If my only hang up on that one right now is the lockout feature. And obviously there's ways around that of, you know, I guess if you've got the rechargeable battery in there's nothing you could do.
Yeah, I actually tested that because, yeah. You know, the common trick is to like reverse polarity on your batteries. Right. Yeah. So it won't activate. I there's no other way to get the housing to close unless the rechargeable is in the way that it has to be to function.
Gotcha.
That's a bummer. I looked at that.
So if you're really diligent, which I always am anyways, of having a fresh set of AAAs in my little first aid kit,
yeah.
You know, you're going to be okay. You know, even if you, especially with the battery life this thing has, if that is randomly on all day in your pack and the battery's dead at the end of the day, you got a spare set there. But, you know, if it's a 5-day hunt and that randomly happens 2 days in a row, that's going to suck. So I guess if you get your spare set, you better, you know, pull the housing apart every single time, which it unclips pretty easily. And then you flip one of the AAAs around and they're backwards, so it doesn't turn on you. But, you know, that's, you know, we pay a lot of money and want for our gear and want things to be convenient and easy to use. And, you know, half the time I end up like elk hunting and, you know, we're chasing bulls first thing in the morning and I end up having my headlamp on my head till like noon. And finally somebody points out like, "Hey, dude, you're still wearing your freaking headlamp," you know. Yeah. So, you know, you just take it off and throw it in your pack real quick. You don't want to have to sit there farting around switching batteries around. So, the lockout feature, if that thing had a lockout feature, I mean, I guess for me, that would be, you know, very, very top of the list.
Yeah.
Yeah. Other than that, it's flat out impressive. And I love the focusing beam. It reminds me, like, you know, having a Maglite flashlight when I was a kid.
Exactly.
Being able to dial that in and out from flood to spotlight. And it's pretty incredible what it can do for sure. I think that's, you know, going back to the Black Diamond. It does a really good job of giving you like usable light beams. Mm-hmm. That's one thing I kind of focused on is, and we'll get into some of these other headlamps of, like, even though it's kind of bright, it's so dispersed that it's not really that functional for you. And that's where the Coast, you could just literally dial it to exactly, you know, you want to spotlight something, you dial it in, you want a, you know, nice wide kind of, flood beam for just hiking up the trail. You've got that option.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's cool because it's not just like, it's not a marginal difference when you're dialing this. Like, it's dramatic. No. Like, when you spotlight this thing, It's very focused, very pointed, and very effective. And then when you flood it out, like, it's an incredibly wide area. So it's not just a gimmicky type deal. I mean, it's way more, the same way with you, it reminds me of the old Maglite, but it's way more effective than what you could do with one of those Maglites for sure.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm same with you, man. If I had the lockout, it'd be a knockout. The buttons are pretty small, you know, they don't protrude. So I think that'll help a little bit. But definitely if I was, you know, it's one thing, I'm like you, when I'm hunting, I usually never have my headlamp sandwiched somewhere. It's usually somewhere easy to reach that's not getting a lot of pressure, or it's on me. It's when I am packing in with a full pack, or when I'm traveling to and from a place, that I get more worried about that stuff. If I was traveling like that, I'd be taking the battery out on this one. But I don't think I'd have concerns on, once you're packed in and hunting and moving and all that, that I don't think it'd be a huge concern, but we shall see.
Yeah. I mean, I've definitely, my old Princeton Tech headlamp, I think it was called a Refuel.
Sounds familiar.
Yeah. I believe that's the name. I'd had that happen to me a lot. It had no lockout feature. And it would turn on me quite often just inside the pack, whether it was in my lid or in a side pocket. And, you know, I think it was a pretty easy button to hit, but it definitely happened more than you'd think, you know?
Yeah.
So it's definitely, it's a bummer about the coast.
Yep. Cool. So next up, going down the lineup, we have a Fenix, F-E-N-I-X. I never had used any Fenix products, but I was aware of them. I mean, they're a lighting company. That's what they do. It's not like Black Diamond, who's making, you know, trekking poles and climbing shoes and headlamps. I mean, Fenix is a lighting company. They make headlamps and flashlights and all kinds of stuff. So the Fenix we have is the HL26R, again, R for rechargeable. So it is rechargeable. It does not take standard batteries, unless I'm crazy. Just the rechargeable cell, right? Or no, does it take triples?
No.
Yeah, okay.
HL26, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the charging on this one, again, is external on the headlamp. You know, you just plug it in. Again, there's a kind of a rubber sealed dustproof cover. It's sealed quite well because it can actually be a big pain in the butt to open at times. Let's see on this one. So they don't have a light lock, like the Black Diamond does. What they do to kind of, prevent accidental power is they have this lip that comes over and covers the two main buttons. So there's two main buttons on this headlamp, one for the center beam, one for the side beams. So this one, kind of takes the Black Diamond approach and having a primary and sort of a secondary light source for the white lights. So there's a button for each to operate those individually. And you also kind of have to, I mean, you don't just click the button. You have to hold it down for 2 to 3 seconds. Mm-hmm. Plus it has that little lip that covers half the button, which is, kind of a blessing and a curse, because you're literally covering half the button, which makes the buttons small and somewhat hard to reach, especially while you're wearing the headlamp. I wouldn't want to be operating this headlamp much in gloves. I don't think that would go well just with the dexterity of the buttons. It has another interesting feature, which is a burst mode. So the true quote unquote high on this one goes up to 450 lumens, which is a knockout. But it will only stay at that level for, I think, a minute. And then it's going to kick down to its sort of running high mode, which is less lumens. Still good light, but not, you know, that scorching torch of 450 lumens. You can put it back into the 450 mode again. But again, it kind of restarts this timer and it's only going to run for that minute. So, you know, 450 lumens is massive. It's a lot of light. I would kind of only use it in quick bursts, so it's kind of an okay feature, but I'll say something like Black Diamond's feature, where you can just tap the housing, is much easier to quickly go in and out versus this burst mode. You kind of have to operate the buttons and do some magic there. This one, which I knew going in, and still wanted to kind of get my hands on this headlamp because I saw a lot of potential in it, it does not have a red light feature. So if you're a guy who's insistent on the red light, this is a no-go. I will say that Phoenix does have other models with a red light. What they didn't have was a red light that was rechargeable that had some of the other features that, you know, we were kind of looking for, some of the brightness and things like that. So, you know, if I was a betting man, if you will, I would say that you're going to see some improvements. You're going to see kind of like hopefully a consolidation between models in the Phoenix lineup to bring some of these features all together in one package. Because as I looked at their headlamps, it was like, oh, great feature on that one, great feature on that one, great feature on that one. If those three could get together and have a magic baby, you'd have an awesome headlamp. But they didn't have like the one headlamp that had everything. So the downside to this one was the no red light. Phoenix also does a limited lifetime warranty. They have an IP66 water resistance and dust resistance on this guy. The light quality is just really nice. I mean, super, super nice. I think Phoenix being a lighting company, and you'll kind of see, you know, they mentioned that some very specifics about the lighting emitters that they're using, you know, Cree LEDs and certain specific lighting. Like, if you're a lighting purist, I think this is probably a really good option. Don't super geek out on that stuff. There's guys that do, but I will say I noticed as a somewhat casual user that the light quality in this was phenomenal. It's probably, I don't know what you found, Steve, but I thought this was one of the most comfortable and most secure. So the shape of the back of the headlamp itself is rounded and super comfortable. The headband is incredibly comfortable, and it has kind of like a sticky like gripper on the inside, so it's one of these that isn't going to be sliding up and down your head or your hat or anything else. Yeah, so it's that's kind of my rundown on that one. What are your thoughts here?
Yeah, you know, to be honest with you, everything you kind of said, I didn't, once I got this thing, I remember being very impressed with it, played with it, you know, tested in the backyard, and then once I figured out there was no way to pull the battery pack out and replace it, you kind of have to dismiss it from a backcountry hunting perspective.
Yeah.
Where it just, I have, if I'm stuck somewhere and I've got a 12-hour hike out in the dark and the battery goes dead, I mean, you're SOL.
Right.
So that was, I really, really wanted to like this because it had some nice features to it. Like you said, the lighting quality, it was one of the best for sure, right up there with the Black Diamond, as far as like you turn it on and it's just like this very even light in front of you. Like everything's well lit. There's like the to pick on the Princeton Tech, it was very like splotchy, like, you know, like a beam of light shining here and there's kind of a dark patch and another beam over here. And the Phoenix had this very, you know, just like switching on a light in your bedroom, like everything in front of you was very well lit. So definitely impressed with that. Like I said, if they come out with a model that's basically this exact headlamp, that you can at least get to the battery pack and throw in some, you know, three just regular AAAs, I think they have a really good contender here. But since it didn't have that, I honestly, once I figured that out, I kind of set it aside and didn't play with it that much more.
And they have a model that's strictly not rechargeable that operates on the same cells, the same model, actually the HL26, that's not the R. I didn't fully realize, you know, that by ordering the rechargeable that you were locked into that.
Gotcha.
Just because
I didn't know they had the non-rechargeable exact same version.
Yeah, I believe that they do. Yeah. But again, you still are kind of giving up, you know, the red light there. So, I mean, overall, I think it's a quality headlamp, amazing light, incredibly comfortable. I'd just like to see Phoenix like kind of merge some of these features that they have in different headlamps into a single headlamp. But you also got to realize like a company like Phoenix is coming at this without the perspective that you and I have, right? Like,
right.
I think the things that we have as backcountry hunters and even the outdoors perspective in general might not be fully on their radar or fully what they're going for. Like if you just have like a general purpose headlamp and, you know, the vast majority of people who are going to be picking up a headlamp aren't worried about being in the backcountry for a week. Like this is a freaking great headlamp. But yeah, like you said, like for our specific use case, I think hopefully we'll see some improvements from them.
Yeah. And we're used to having to adapt products and find stuff that, you know, kind of make a compromise for what works for us. Cause
yeah,
like the guys out here doing what we're doing of true backcountry hunting are, you know, it's we're a small percentage of the population. That's for sure.
Yeah. That's for dang sure. Cool. So that's the Phoenix. So next up would be the Petzl. So we had the Petzl Taktika Core, which again, they've had, you know, plenty of versions of Taktikas in the past, and I think even a version of a Core, but they kind of had a new updated version for 2017. Just kind of running that down it as well. It had kind of like proximity and distance modes, kind of a flood and a spot. It has the three AAAs that it can take, but it's also rechargeable. So it has the battery pack cell as well. Does not have a light lock either. Does have a single button operation. Has really good, the max lumens are at 350. So, you know, a bit, you know, like a bit more than Black Diamond, kind of on the higher side of things in general. It does have the red light feature as well. It has a strobe. It's kind of interesting. Like the Black Diamond has a strobe on both the red light and the white light. On the Petzl, the strobe was just on the red light, which I thought was interesting. I don't know. I think of using a strobe in like a emergency type scenario. And unless it's incredibly dark out, how good is a red light strobe? You know, because you're not really having penetrating light at that point. So I thought that that was an interesting choice there. It has the IPX4 water resistance, so it's not the IPX8 that the Black Diamond has. The IPX4 is more like guarding against splashing and things like that. It's not like waterproof in terms of submersion. It's water resistant in terms of, you know, probably some standard conditions of rain and splashing. It has that smart reserve mode that we talked a bit about earlier. So if it gets low on power versus just dying out completely, it's going to give you a admittedly very low light source, but it's going to guarantee that you have a couple hours of some usable light. Not going to be a great amount of light to get you through the woods as a primary light source, but it'll, you know, it keeps some light there for you. You know, I think it's easy to operate. Again, having a good, solid, big button that's going to be, you know, easier to operate with gloves. Like the fact that you can do the rechargeable cell or the standard AAAs for sure. It was also a really comfortable headlamp. Not quite as comfortable as the Phoenix for me. It has an emergency whistle built into the headband, which I thought was kind of interesting. I guess kind of cool. I guess maybe since your strobe's only on red and that's not going to go far, at least you have a whistle, right? So one thing that stuck out to me, I had used some Petzl headlamps in the past, but never the Taktina line, although I'd seen them out there quite a bit. I was shocked. You know, I just kind of, as we all do, we have brand impressions, right? And Petzl to me was just high quality. I was expecting, you know, they have like this European heritage. They're big into like the outdoor space, you know, they big expedition style equipment in a lot of ways. I was expecting a lot of quality out to Petzl. And I'm not at all saying that it's not, but what I am saying is I was shocked at the feel of the Petzl. It just didn't feel solid to me. Like it felt, light, but not in a good way. It felt plasticky, not in a great way. So much so that I like got online and wanted to kind of check it out. And they do. I mean, they publish some interesting, like, drop test and destruction test and impact test. So I'm not saying that it's not a tough headlamp. I'm not saying that it is fragile, but I will say it kind of feels fragile to me, which I was shocked by just based on the brand impression I had of Petzl before opening this guy up.
Yeah, I was no sugarcoating Petzl. I was super disappointed. And the exact same thing as you. For whatever, somehow I've never owned a Petzl headlamp. I've always just had Black Diamond and Princeton Tech, and then I think a couple of off brands. And so I was super excited to get this, and then very disappointed. Like I said, it's not. Maybe the quality is there, but it has a very thin plasticky feel to it. And so I was definitely disappointed in that. And then obviously the battery life tests, it was by far the worst performer. And then just using it in the fields, I personally didn't like the image that it, the lighting that it produced. I felt it was definitely better than the Princeton Tech, but it wasn't near the same quality as the Black Diamond or Coast for me, as far as just brightness and even light and stuff like that.
Yeah. So one thing I just realized that we hadn't talked about this whole time was price, and it's something certainly we meant to cover, but pretty much all of the headlamps we've mentioned. So the Black Diamond is going to be around $60. The Coast, I've seen, so the MSRP on that's close to 100, but it's one of these situations where really on the street, I'm seeing them in a lot of places for around $60. So again, comparable. That's for the rechargeable version. The non-rechargeable version is even cheaper. But so $60 in the Black Diamond, $60 for the rechargeable Coast that we had, $50 for the Phoenix, and then $60 on the Petzl as well. And I bring that up now, A, because we're going to talk about the Princeton Tech in a minute, which is significantly cheaper. But also just the Petzl made me think, it's like, I don't know, like going back to the build quality feel. Like if these are essentially all the same price, they're within 50, $60, all the ones we've talked about thus far. To me, it felt like the cheapest for sure.
Yeah.
Again, I'm not saying it won't hold up. I didn't do any destruction tests. We didn't get into that stuff, but it definitely does not have the feel that the others do have for being at the same price point. Yeah. Or I think the light quality at the same price point.
Yeah. Hands down agree.
Yeah. So, yeah. All right, so that leaves the Princeton Tech. We have the Princeton Tech Sync. This is $30, speaking of price, so significantly cheaper, like half price of pretty much all the other ones we've discussed thus far. And really just a much different headlamp. So the Sync is not rechargeable. Takes three triple A's like the others do, but not rechargeable. Clearly, if you wanted to, you could get your own, you know, rechargeable batteries with its own charger and all that, but nothing built-in features of the headlamp that makes it rechargeable. It's just much different in every way, which is kind of interesting to see, to bring a different perspective. You know, instead of the batteries loading flat in like the back panel, like all these headlamps do, the Sync is like side loaded. So the side of the Sync flips open. The batteries kind of slide in, they stack next to each other. So this has like a wider, shorter profile because these batteries aren't stacked vertically in the back of the headlamp. They're kind of, it's a very rounded profile. One end is the battery door. Incredibly easy to change the batteries on this guy. The other end is a knob, like a dial. So no buttons on this guy, which again, very different. So the dial is going to take you from a lock position. So it does have a lock, not a button lock in this point, but the dial locks into its rearmost position. I could see how the dial could rotate maybe, but I have
pretty hard.
Yeah. Some confidence in the lock for sure. I don't see, because since it's in the rearmost position and the little kind of handle, if you will, on the dial is kind of tucked in, I think it'd, you know, it'd be a pretty decent lock for sure. So it can go from the lock to the red mode to a standard off mode. So if you're out hunting with this and have it off and you want to be able to quickly toggle between like red and white, there's another middle position besides the lock. That's another off mode. And then from there, you just rotate forward and you get into the white beams. And this one, you're going to click into the first, which is the lowest, click into a medium, and then kind of click into your high, which I kind of like. Sometimes it's frustrating when you turn a headlamp on and it goes straight into the highest mode and you didn't want that light. So I do like that for this dial system, it goes low, medium, high versus high, medium, low. Again, with this dial, incredibly easy to use, even with gloves. Literally nothing to learn on this one. No buttons, no nothing. $30, great price point. Does not have a strobe. A limited 5-year warranty. IPX4 water resistance. So, you know, comparable to something like the Petzl. Going to be pretty comparable to the Phoenix in that manner as well. So I would say if you are on a budget and if you want something incredibly stupid simple, and I'm not saying it's a stupid headlamp, I'm not saying the user's stupid, there's no intelligence to run this thing at all. Stupid, yeah. Simple, incredibly easy to change the batteries if you don't want to fuss with recharging and you just want to run standard cells and you have a probability of changing them, it's super easy to change. You know, the knocks to this guy, it's just not very powerful. I mean, the max lumens are 150. Most of these other headlamps that we've been looking at are 300 or 350. So it doesn't have like a big torture beam on it. As you kind of mentioned, Steve, the light quality's kind of spotty. It's just not super clean. Certainly usable. But if you put it next to one of these other headlamps, even at the same lumen level, you're going to notice a difference in the light quality, the others being better than the Princeton Tech. So, you know, it's a different take. I think it's a solid headlamp for $30. If you have a bit more to spend, I think, you know, upgrading to some of these options might be worth it if you want some advanced features. But if you don't want those advanced features, you want something simple. I think it's a cool little headlamp. It's a different headlamp.
Yeah. I said the dial really intrigued me when I first got it, and I didn't know that these were cheap, and I actually just pulled it up. It's on sale right now for $20 at REI. So
that's a steal.
Pretty dang low price for a decent headlamp, considering that's, you know, going to be a third the price of some of these others. The dial was intriguing, and then I said for me, the only disappointment, in the battery life test, it did okay. It was kind of middle, lower of the pack, but it did okay. Definitely better than the Petzl. But yeah, just there's no the quality of the light and then just flat out, you know, rated 150 lumens. It doesn't even seem to put that out. So I was definitely disappointed in it when I tested it out.
Yeah, I think, and part of that's because, you know, we're looking at a $20-$30 headlamp with $60 right. headlamps next to it. Yep. And yeah, I mean, you know, when they're side by side, the quality difference in terms of the lighting quality is pretty apparent. Yep. If you were literally running around the backcountry with this thing and didn't have another option, I mean, it's totally usable light. And, you know, sure. When you're in the woods, it's not like you're going to go like, oh, there's like a dim spot here and a bright spot there. And it's not super right. clear, or super even, you know. But yeah, putting them side by side, you can see the quality.
Yeah, which that was a cool part of doing this test is, you know, I went on multiple bear hunts where I literally had 5 headlamps in the pack and strapped them all on. And actually, you know, I guess you can do this in your backyard, but most of the time you're going to be at a retail store or just researching online. You don't get to test that quality of you know, what the different beams look like and how they produce light. So, it was for $20, it wouldn't be bad.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Cool. That's awesome. That's funny. We were just talking before we hit record, like, is this going to take 15 minutes? But we just spent way more than 15 minutes covering this. Yeah.
No, that's cool. You know, and it wasn't, obviously there's going to be guys out there that, you know, I think we try to hit, you know, Petzl, Black Diamond, Princeton Tech, probably the three biggest brands out there, Coast and Phoenix being kind of newcomers, I guess, to what you would see pop up out there on forums or something like that. And yeah. Sure, there's some other ones out there that exist and are awesome, but at least this is, give some guys 5 headlamps to look at and consider.
Yeah, and not only is that just 5 brands, but, you know, all these brands have different models, right? So,
yeah,
you know, we're looking at certain features and for the most part wanted to consider rechargeables, things like that, just because more and more of that stuff's kind of taken off. So, yeah, I mean, there's, you know, plenty of options out there, other models. You know, there's not, like, there's downsides, which we covered. I mean, we're not trying to hide anything here. At the same time, there's nothing here that I can say is like a unusable headlamp, you know?
No, yeah, no, not even close to that.
By any means. So it's not like we got any total pieces of junk here. It's just for what we do and for the specific need that we have, certain ones are going to have more benefits geared towards our use case for sure.
Yep.
Yeah. So what are your overall thoughts, Steve? What are you going to let sit in a box? What are you going to give away to your buddy? And what are you going to put in your pack and take with you?
The Princeton tech, I'll give that away to somebody, you know, to like my niece or something like that. Let her have a headlamp. The Phoenix, really nice head. Like you said, does it like have around the house? If you need to like run out in the backyard in the middle of the night and do something, awesome. It's headlamp.
Killer light.
I was super impressed with it. Just not being able to replace the battery. That was the one hang up, but that's a big hang up. The Petzl, flat out disappointed. Hopefully, I don't know if I got a lemon. Sounds like you had similar experience with it. I don't know what they did there, because I had nothing but high brand impression. For a brand new headlamp to come out that they're marketing, just super disappointed. So, really for me, yeah, Black Diamonds, the Revolts, and the Coasts, those two are neck and neck. The Black Diamond is a more complete, well-rounded headlamp. The lockout feature, some of the other features, the light quality produces, fantastic. Probably going to be the one in my pack this fall. But the Coast, I'm so tempted to use that Coast. I just don't know if I want to mess with having to pull the battery out every time, because I'd feel like, you know, that's something I'd have to do.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny. I'm right with you. Like, those two are the standouts for me. Those two are the ones I'm definitely going to consider using for hunting and for that. It's funny, just like you mentioned, like, the Phoenix is such a good light. I don't even know that I can get rid of it. Like, that's going to, like you mentioned, be my work light, be my around the house light, be my truck light, whatever. The Black Diamond and the Coast, you know, I'm used to the Black Diamond. Like I said, this would have been running for probably 3 years. And so I'm used to the system, but even then, the usability of it trips me up sometimes. And part of me, like the Coast, like part of me has like this underdog, like I want to root for it. Not just because it is an underdog, but because it's such a freaking awesome headlamp that you can potentially buy at Walmart. Like, how often does that happen? Do you know?
Right.
Never. Super simple, incredibly, incredibly usable, man. I love being able to change the light profile and go wide or spot it out. Yeah, I don't know. It's going to be interesting. I'm definitely going to keep these two around just like you are. I'm going to keep using them. Maybe at some point at the end of the season, we can do a quick little get back on things and see how we feel after even more testing.
I think, like, you know, Lindy and I leave for Alaska here in barely over 2 weeks, and we're just getting dropped off by plane and hunting from wherever we get dropped off. So I'll probably throw both in the bin and take up there and use them, and, you know, get some more field testing, and then kind of maybe alternate throughout hunting season. Maybe if it's a shorter duration trip, take the Coast where, you know, I don't have to worry about it. If it's going to be like, you know, the 10 days we're doing in Colorado, probably take the Black Diamond just so I can lock it out and know I'm going to be safe. So, yeah, it'll be fun to kind of bounce back and forth and play with them.
Yeah, cool. Well, that was good. Hopefully we didn't, totally geek you guys out or bore you.
Yeah, a little different episode than typical, but it's fun. And it doesn't appeal to everybody, but I'm sure some guys are, you know, I posted a picture of doing the test last night on Instagram and had, you know, a guy comment like, hey, I'm looking to buy a headlamp right now, you know, like super interested in what's going on. And it's all relative to what you're doing, I guess. But if you're in the headlamp market, hopefully there's some good information in here for you.
Yeah, for sure. Cool. So next up, we're going to kind of do the same thing with stoves. So we got about five stoves that we've tested, different pros and cons to each one, different use cases, different, you know, things that we want to highlight. So that'll be next up. We'll see if we end up talking for another hour about stoves again or not.
I think stoves can be even longer.
Stoves are much more divisive, I think, for some reason.
For sure. And I did just today at lunch at the office, we got some pretty big fans, so I did the wind tests to boil time and had some shocking results. I was freaking blown away. So it'll be fun to cover all that.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, we'll get that one up next. I don't know that'll be the next episode we release, but in terms of it'll be real soon after this one, there might have something in between to break it up so you guys don't have to listen to us about gear back to back. But look for that one to come out soon. As always, let us know if you have any questions about these products, about anything else. You know, we've considered doing similar reviews for other product categories, so if that's something you guys want to see, let us know. Always catch us by email, podcast@xomountaingear.com. Other than that, thanks for listening.